We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
DJ producing. Hey, Jura, I have a serious question for once.
Uh-oh.
Is it Kamala or Kamala Harris? I've heard it both ways.
You have to ask her. I think it's Kamala Harris. That sounds Kamala. I would say Kamala Harris. But I don't know. I don't know the proper response to that. I don't know the answer. Kamala Harris. I think I've heard it more that way instead of Kamala.
I think I have, too. I think we'll go with Kamala until she calls to correct us.
Right, because she's a big fan of the show. She streams
it
at radio.com.
I hear she streams it on the radio.com app. So,
she's a big fan.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's good. So, yes, and congratulations to Kamala. Obviously, we're talking about her because Joe Biden has selected her as his vice presidential running mate. An historic event. The first time a black woman has ever been on a presidential ticket. And quite frankly, this ticket really reflects the makeup of the United States of America more than any ticket ever in U.S. presidential history.
Yeah, look, I think it's a strong ticket. We will see. Interesting to see that the race may be closer in Minnesota than a lot of people thought. 3 points is almost a wash. I mean, Laura Oakes just reported minutes ago that a recent survey suggests that the race may be a little bit tighter than people suggest. It's going to be a function of who can get out the vote, and a big part of that is going to be the absentee voting, right? Voting by mail during a pandemic.
You can still vote in person today. You can even do curbside voting if you're very concerned about social distancing and did not mail in your ballot. If you requested a mail-in ballot, you had until 3, I'm sorry, to drop it at your election place. But you still have time to vote today. Go to, what is that website, David? It's
mnvotes.org.
There you go, mnvotes.org. Find your primary voting place because it changes sometimes for the primaries, not always, but sometimes. And make sure you are out there, wear a mask. If not, they'll give one to you. And make sure you get out there and vote today.
So say what you will about Vladimir Putin, Russia's leader. He's not a marketing guy. He said the new Russian vaccine, which was just announced today, quote, works effectively enough.
Oh,
it's good enough. Trust me.
Oh my God.
But here's the thing. This vaccine has not completed phase 3 tests, at least here in the United States with the FDA. Tens of thousands of people have to be tested with any kind of proposed vaccine to make sure the efficacy and the safety of the vaccine. This could be, you know, look, everybody wants a vaccine. It's something of an arms race, a pharma arms race around the world to see which country is going to have the first viable, effective, safe vaccine. The announcement raises fears, Jor, that Russia is rushing for political purposes. Can't imagine that. And it does make for great propaganda, even if it doesn't work. They've dubbed this vaccine Sputnik V, a reference to the surprise 1957 launch of the world's first satellite by the Soviet Union, which rocked our world. You want to talk about an oh crap moment. When that thing went up, there were concerns it could carry nukes and that, you know, the Russians had leapfrogged ahead of the United States. Keep in mind, David Frum points out that old Soviet television sets used to explode and burn down entire homes. So we can only imagine the safety standards of a Putin vaccine.
But this.
We shall see.
Putin says one of his daughters has taken it. I don't know how many daughters or children that he has, but he says one of his daughters has taken it. The vaccine has yet to enter phase three clinical trials. The final stage of testing can take months and can involve thousands of people. Now, of course, public health experts are like, red flag, hello, problem. And I get that. And of course, Dr. Anthony Fauci said, when asked what will happen when you release a vaccine before it's really ready, he called it, quote, get this, this is a good Fauci quote, problematic at best. You think? Problematic at best. There are currently more than 160 vaccines in development around the world. And I guess Putin is going, I feel bad for the Russian people, because is he going to make them take it? He's not a marketer, but he is a dictator and an autocrat, and he could force this vaccine on his people. So that makes me feel very nervous for the Russian people, because we don't release data. We don't release vaccines and treatments until we know they are effective. That's why it's so careful. You got to be worried that, you know, people are saying use zinc when zinc has not been proven to help with COVID-19. And, you could, you know, take too much of that.
Comrade, we don't need no stinking FDA. I am the FDA.
I
tell you when it's safe. You take the vaccine and you'll be happy.
It's just crazy. I just feel bad for the Russians.
What?
I hope this is not
DJ. What?
That's
my bad Russian accent.
Bad emphasis on bad.
All your accents start to sound the same after a while.
All of our Russian listeners will be calling in offended.
Well, by the way, the FDA commissioner has said the FDA will not cut corners or compromise safety in order to bring a COVID-19 vaccine to the market. And Moderna, which is a Massachusetts company at the head of the race when it comes to developing an American vaccine, said in a very best case scenario, it would take well into next year for a vaccine to reach most of the American public. That's according to interviews and remarks from top specialists, including Anthony Fauci. I hope it's sooner. We all hope it's sooner. We want it to be safe. We want it to work. So I'm skeptical about the Russian claims. We'll see. Let's see if it works. It would be amazing if it did.
Let's talk about going back to schools next. Dr. Kathleen Holmes of St. Thomas has some thoughts on what should happen this new school year.
MTV. When's the last time you watched MTV? Do they still run music videos on MTV? They don't, right?
Gosh, that's a good question.
It's all reality TV shows, I think. Yeah.
I don't know what.
MTV has music videos? I don't know what words you just said. I don't know what you're talking about.
That was a big deal back in the 80s.
I remember running home from school and watching whatever new video was out that day. That's all we watched.
Oh,
my
goodness.
But boy, the times have changed, Paul. Times have really changed, certainly since the 80s and certainly since America's infancy. Today we are learning the first black woman ever on the ticket, a presidential ticket. Kamala Harris has been chosen as Joe Biden's vice presidential pick. This is an historic event, Paul. It really is. And Ibram Kendi tweeted out recently that this is the ticket that reflects most the American public than any other ticket in the history of America.
Well, America is changing. America is morphing. And we will see. It seems like formidable opposition for President Trump and Mike Pence. Here's an update from CBS.
CBS News special report. The pick has been made. It will be Joe Biden and Kamala Harris for the Democrats this November. Harris, the 55-year-old daughter of immigrants from Jamaica and India, was briefly a candidate for president. Now she's joining forces with the man she once opposed. Professor Larry Sabato calls it a safe choice.
Joe Biden believes he is the front runner, and he was not willing wisely to take a chance on someone who had been unvetted or not vetted very much.
It was just 4 years ago that Harris really hit the national spotlight.
Our new U.S. Senator, Kamala Harris! Woo!
This as she won the California Senate seat. Already there's an attack ad out from the Trump campaign.
Voters rejected Harris. They smartly spotted a phony. But not Joe Biden. He's not that smart.
Again, Joe Biden's VP choice, Kamala Harris. CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Futterman.
Welcome back. It is 4:21. Jordana and Paul, thank you for taking some time with us. At 5:35, we're going to check in with John Williams, our friend in Chicago. He is amidst the looting that is happening and the violence in Chicago, so he is going to give us a bird's eye view and a firsthand experience of what's happening there. But closer to home, we're talking schools. This is all my friends talk about all the time. What is happening with their kids in school, how they're going to manage it, how they're doing workarounds, what is happening with the kids. And Dr. Kathleen Holmes, she is from the Campbell Dean from the School of Education at St. Thomas. She is joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. We want to welcome you to the show.
Oh, thank you.
So when you heard that Governor Walz laid out this hybrid really gave the power to the superintendents and, you know, recommends a hybrid, what did you think about that methodology?
I actually agreed with it, because when you start to look across an entire state, depending on the county or region that you're in, you're going to see differences in the cases. And so to kind of give that to the local level and let superintendents and school boards, along with parents, teachers, and staff, make those decisions, I think is right.
Dr. Campbell, this is Paul. Thank you for joining us today. I'm just curious, what has St. Thomas done in terms of testing and contact tracing? Are you comfortable that you have the safety nets necessary to capture cases of the virus and track them and warn other students who may have been exposed?
Yes. So we have been working on a preparedness plan for the last couple of months, and we actually had a number of town halls back in early June, which feels like a long time ago, to go over what our initial plans were. And of course, those plans are subject to change based off of the data from MDH and also guidance from the CDC. We've spent a lot of time identifying who's the contact tracing team, how they'll get in contact with different individuals. For example, if you're in a classroom, making sure that we know what that seating chart is so that you can see who would be around potentially an individual who may test positive, and the contact tracers can then contact those individuals as well. It's a pretty comprehensive plan, but we do have an entire website devoted to COVID-19 and what our plan is, because we believe it's important to be transparent, but at the same time, it's going to take all of us to make sure we're all safe. It's not just an individual's responsibility. I think it's everyone working together.
Dr. Campbell, the word among, and these are just my friends, this is just totally anecdotal, you know, what I hear at the baseball games, that any schools that are starting with hybrid or any attempt to come back to the classroom come October, everything will be shut down anyway, because there's just, you know, one kid will get it. That means 100 will get it. And it's not going to happen. What are your thoughts on that?
So I think that everyone has the right to be concerned. By no means do I think that this will be easy to go back hybrid if you're in a school system or at the college level. But what I do think you need to do if you're at a school is really think through the protocols in place. How are you reducing potentially the number of kids that individuals will come into contact with? What are you doing during transitions? Because that's usually when you have the most amount of children who are interacting with others. And then really isolating it. So if it is one classroom, or if you're able to even reduce your class size down to the 1-9 or 1-10 ratio, like a lot of summer camps have done. It's a little bit easier than to deal with a small group, make sure that they quarantine, and then make sure the rest of the population knows that there were potential cases and follow the rest of the guidance from MDH.
And then what about the other side of that? You know, let's say kids or parents keep them home. You know, we hear a lot of lawmakers really using a lot of fear tactics that kids have to go back to school. This is so damaging for them. you know, how damaging is it if they do distance learning for even a year? Now, not even just the first half of the year before the, hope, God willing, a vaccine, but even a year. You know, I mean, kids are homeschooled all the time and they seem fine. So are these just scare tactics? And I mean, can you calm us down a little bit from those that are freaking out saying that, you know, the kids have to go back to school? Or is this truly damaging for the children and they're going to be a total mess if they have to stay home for a year?
So I definitely understand the concern. And I think the other challenge is when we talk about K-12, we're talking about children as young as five. And then we're looking at the entire gamut up to 18. And so you really kind of have to segment that group a little bit. If we're talking about middle school and high school, while I still think obviously people want interaction, I do think you can, as a teacher, engage students if you have the technology. And this is going to be the key. If everyone had access to technology or some type of system, it would be a little bit different. As a teacher, you can engage individuals virtually, make sure that there are breakout rooms, they're interacting. Is it exactly the same as being in person? No. But can you actually teach a number of those skills? Yes. I think the challenge that we're facing, especially in the United States, is how many individuals have access to broadband? How many individuals' internet is fast enough to actually put a video screen on? If they even wanted to, because there's some equity issues with whether or not someone would feel comfortable sharing their own personal space with everyone in a classroom. But then on the other side, it's also thinking about younger children. So I started my career in education as a kindergarten teacher, and I spent a lot of time thinking about, wow, if I was in the classroom today, what would that look like if I'm talking about working with a five-year-old online? And that's where I think the challenge is. It doesn't mean that five-year-olds can't do it, but you then are relying on more assistance of whether it's a parent or a guardian or some other caretaker to also make sure that the system is set up. And so there are some challenges to virtual learning. Now, I think that we need to rethink the way schools will look, because it's not going to be a typical year, and I think everyone acknowledges that, but I don't know how often we're really imagining in our head, even if you went back in person, what does it look like to walk into a classroom and there is some type of distancing? Are kids used to wearing face masks? Are they practicing at home? So even in person won't be the same. And so I do think we're going to need to address the mental health, not only for children, but I also think you have to address it for teachers as well. A lot of people are nervous and scared, and I completely understand that. But we do need to make sure we're kind of looking at the whole child and the whole person who's working with them.
Dr. Kathleen Holmes-Campbell, Dean, School of Education at St. Thomas, we sure appreciate your perspective, and good luck. Be safe out there. Thank you.
Thank you.
When we get back, more on the pick of Kamala Harris as Joe Biden's vice president.
Hey, Jor, I looked it up. It is Kamala. That is the preferred pronunciation. She's a youngster. She's only 55. I mean, in national politics, that qualifies you as a millennial.
She's a baby.
She's a baby.
Well, there you go. A young black woman running for vice president. That checks a lot of boxes for me. I think a little diversity, a little new perspective. I think that's what having diversity at the helm means. That's why companies make more money when they have more diverse executive leadership, because you avoid problems when you only have one point of view. You get more, you get different ideas, and it helps your company grow when you have diversity and differences and coming at problems in your business from a different perspective. And that's what the benefit of having diverse people in any leadership role is. And I think that if we can certainly do that with our executive leadership of the United States, representing more people, what a great thing.
She, look, she's African-American and Indian. And she self-identifies as black. She sees her experience primarily as American. She was raised in Berkeley. She grew up going to a black Baptist church and a Hindu temple. So she got a taste of both. Not sure if she self-identifies as a Baptist, but I just found that interesting. 651-989-9226. Kamala Harris, Senator Kamala Harris. Do you think that's a good pick for Joe Biden? 651-989-9226. She's got the credentials. She's an attorney, Attorney General for California, and she's been serving in the Senate since 2017.
Well, what do you think? I gave my opinion. What do you think? You think it's a good pick?
I think it's a good pick. I think, look, Elizabeth Warren, there were a lot of very worthy people. I also like Susan Rice. I think, you know, she would have been a terrific pick. But I think Kamala Harris ticks a lot of the boxes that progressives are going to be looking for. I think she balances out Joe Biden in many respects. I think she appeals perhaps to a younger constituency. And certainly in an attempt to capture the African-American vote, I think Joe Biden, his street cred just went up a few notches with this pick.
I could totally agree with you. 651-989-9226 is our number. The phone lines are open. What do you think about Kamala Harris as Joe Biden's vice presidential pick? Dale is in St. Paul. Jump in, sir.
Well, I think she was picked, but I'm not so sure it was Biden's pick. I mean, I think it was the Democratic Party overall pick because they are, I think, quite a bit different in some respect. I mean, let's face it, in that debate, they were opposing every step of the way. She kind of tore him up, you know.
Yeah, she did.
And she's not a Biden fan, and I guess, like I said, that's where I stand, where I don't feel that he really wanted her. But I think, be honest, I think there's pressure for him to pick her, checking a box. She was tough on crime. I mean, she's in California, and so that does open up some debate, because the way things are going now, they're saying open up the prisons and let these people out. So I don't know where they're going to stand with her. And like I said, I just don't think it was Biden's choice. In my opinion, it was the party's. And I'd like to see those two sit down and have coffee and hear their discussion.
Yeah,
hopefully they will. I'd like to be a fly on the wall, too, my friend. Dale, thank you for the call.
Thanks, Dale. Maybe she'll keep him honest. I don't know. I don't think that diversity, as you said, is a bad thing. A little bit of creative tension, right? Joe Biden can't have all the answers, and I hope he's open to ideas and policy that maybe makes him squirm a little bit, right?
And as keep in mind, it's not just diversity that she brings to the table. She is a highly qualified candidate, a seasoned prosecutor, a senator. She's a highly, you'd be hard pressed to find anyone more qualified than Kamala Harris at this point.
I meant diversity of ideas.
Of course. You know, yes, of course. I totally,
we all,
yeah, of course,
totally we all get in our headspace, but having somebody respectfully disagree and say, well, that's interesting, but why don't we do it this way? Mm-hmm. You know, it can be annoying. But if you really want to serve the people, that's maybe the best way to do it. Shelley in Elk River, do you think Senator Kamala Harris was a good pick?
I really did, but I'm not very political. I'm just excited that she is a woman. She seems like she is very intelligent, and she brings a different perspective, a woman of color, new ideas. So I'm just very excited about it.
Me too. Thank you, Shelley. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Shelley, for calling in.
I think that's. I feel a little relieved. I feel like when you have people that are different from you talking to you every day, reading the same briefings, I hope that presidents rely on their vice presidents for some counsel. We were certainly hoping that this president would rely on his executive team and his executive leadership to make decisions. I have no idea if that is happening or not. But I hope that choosing somebody like Kamala Harris, who is different politically from Joe Biden, and then, of course, in history and in life experiences, that will create a richer executive team leading this country with more ideas and more open minds to change and how we do things in this country. Hazel's in Richfield. Hazel, what do you think about the pick of Kamala Harris?
I'm so happy. I'm jumping up and down. I'm very happy. I think she'll be a good leadership. I'm 64 and a half, and I used to go to the polls and work the polls free when I was 14. And I'm 64 now, and I'm still working in an election. And she would be a great piece of work for us. And I think she'll keep Joe Biden on the right track. And he already knows she's not afraid to try anything. She's young. She got that young blood. I think it's a great addition to the world, not just to me, to the world. And congratulations to her, and we'll go from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Hazel.
Thank you, Hazel.
Wow.
You know what? Let's sneak in.
George, she's not going to be a yes man or a yes woman, right? I mean, that's what I like. She's got the character. We have time for one quick question or comment from Glenn in Llano Lakes. Good pick or bad pick? Hi, Glenn.
Hi there. I think it's a great pick. I don't think a president and vice president should always be on the same page. They have to have a little bit of differing of opinions. Also, I think Kamala is, I'm probably not getting the pronunciation right again, but I think she's very well spoken. She's very direct and clear. I think her background is very good, but no, I think she's a great pick.
Glenn and Lionel Lakes, thanks for the call.
Thanks for weighing in, everyone. We appreciate that. When we come back, a tough day for football fans. Big Ten, now Pac-12. We want to get Maxie's perspective. That's coming up next.
News Talk 830 WCCO Sports with Mike Max.
So the announcement today, the official announcement from the Big Ten, a body blow for athletes and their families and universities and certainly college football fans. And it wasn't limited just to football. The commissioner for the Big Ten, Kevin Warren, said the mental and physical health and welfare of our student athletes has been at the center of every decision we've made regarding the ability to proceed forward. He also said the Big Ten Infectious Diseases Task Force, I didn't know there was such a thing, made it, quote, abundantly clear there was too much uncertainty regarding potential medical risks to going forward with the fall sports. Mikey, I had a chance to listen to you and Dan Cook go back and forth. I know you were filling in for Chad today. When people ask you, was it the right decision? And I know there's a lot of nuance. What are your thoughts? What do you tell people?
Well, first off, Kevin Warren is somebody that I know very well because of his time here with the Minnesota Vikings for many, many years. So I've known him very well. And I get the feeling that he would side with the presidents on this one. He's fairly new to the job, and very new to the job. And so if the presidents are your boss and they're telling you this, that doesn't surprise me. I'm not saying he doesn't have the same conviction or share the same set of values as they do. I do think they could have played. I think that Scott Frost, head coach at Nebraska, said they're going to be at risk anywhere that they are. The only question is, are they going to have doctors near them like they do on the football field? So, yeah, I think they could have played. It's not that big a deal to me that they decided not to. I'm not that vested in it. It's not you've been playing in front of empty stadiums anyway, which is why guys were opting out. You know, it wasn't going to be the college game day experience as we know it anyway. So if they feel more comfortable going to the spring, great. You've got a money issue now that that canyon is going to be awfully wide. You're going to have to probably borrow at some point in time and try to find somebody that good faith will lend you, knowing that it's coming back to them. But it's going to be a very difficult process for Minnesota, I think, with what they're paying in debt service right now for their practice facility. So, yeah, that's going to be things they're going to have to sort out down the road, because I don't think there's any certainty there'll be a spring season anyway. And if they do, I'm not sure what purpose it serves except to regain some money. And I'm not sure that, you know, I think most of us as sports fans, we're seasonal. And in the fall, we love football. In the winter, we love basketball. But every league that's tried to do it out of season has failed. So I don't know. It sounds good right now because you can throw it out there for the athletes, keep them engaged, keep them training. But I'm not so sure that that's going to go anywhere either.
Maxie, would we have a spring season and then another football season, in theory, a few months later?
Yeah, so there's a lot to be sorted out. How many games would they play in the spring? You know, the MIAC is going to do it with maybe five games, and you wouldn't lose your eligibility. There's lots of things that you can do, but it gets really complicated now. You know, if you have a spring season, like I said, is that worth it to you to give up a year of eligibility if you're a player? Maybe they'd protect that year. If you do that, then you're going to have six classes of players at one time. And how many scholarships do you get when you're facing budget constraints? So they got a mess right now. But we all got a mess. It's not just them. We all got a mess in our lives. We all, for the most part, are taking the shorts one way or the other. So this is their mess, and they're going to have to figure it out.
Oh, okay. I'm not laughing at the situation. I'm laughing at some of your euphemisms.
Taking it in the shorts.
Well, I needed that. Thank you.
Well, it's sports term.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's apt.
Which is not the one we use that were in the locker room, by the way.
Yeah. I know you clean it up in the locker room.
Yeah,
hey, the Twins.
Twins
had a nice victory last night, 4-2 over the Brewers. They're taking on the Brewers again this evening. First pitch, 7:10, pregame, 6:30, right here on your Twin Station, CCO. What should we be looking for? We've got about a minute.
Yep. We had Randy Dobnik on earlier today, and he pitched in the last two wins for him, pitched great last night again. So it's kind of fun to see his story continue to evolve. Tonight, Tyler Clipper is going to get the start, which means it's a bullpen game for the Twins. So that's what you look for. You see who can be good for an inning or two at a time. And get them to the cusp. I kind of like these bullpen games because I think the Twins are well built for them, especially when they run their veterans out there. And Clipper will give you some of that. Smeltz should be available probably again if they need him. So that's what you look for. Last night they got a grand slam from Eddie Rosario. Hey, you don't have to hit, like I say, you don't have to play station-to-station baseball. If you can just hit some home runs, grand slam was all they needed last night. So keep swinging from the heels, boys, and see if something good can happen.
Yeah, amen.
Great job today filling in for Chad, buddy. Really listening.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You always do a great job. Thanks, Mikey. We appreciate you. Thanks for joining us.
Talk to you soon. Take care.
And tonight, Twins pregame starts here at 6:30. Tomorrow, early game, though, at 5:30. So you and I get kicked off the air a little bit early, but we are happy to do that for the Twins.
For a good cause, yes.
We're fine with that. Absolutely. So again, big news of the day, Kamala Harris is Joe Biden's running mate, her vice presidential running mate. We're going to talk about Election Day, and John Williams will join us at 5:20.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.